Tantal Audio presents Fire Rising by Donna Grant. Narrated by Anthony Ferguson. Prologue. May 2014. The Rose and Crown Pub, Oban, Scotland. Sammy wiped the last part of the highly polished bar as the front door opened and Daniel came rushing into the pub. She wondered at his harried expression and the sweat beading his face. When he locked the door and turned to her with wild eyes filled with sorrow and remorse, she knew something was dreadfully wrong.
"What is it?"
she asked cautiously. Daniel meandered through the tables as if he couldn't decide whether to hurry or wait, and made his way to the back of the bar. His eyes darted about and his face was flushed.
"We need to leave. No!"
"I just shut down for the night."
Sammy reached for a glass before she tilted a lever and watched the dark ale fill half the glass before she shut it off and lifted the glass to her lips. She drank several swallows as she thought about her ex-lover and his peculiar actions. Their affair had been wild and short. She knew Daniel wasn't the type to stick around forever, nor was he the guy she would settle down with. Not that there was such a guy. Or that she would even let anyone get that close. But he had a keen business sense. Even as their quick affair died down, their friendship grew until he was part of her business. His connections to distributors and suppliers cut her costs by a third, saving her a lot more than she thought possible.
"Sammy, I mean it," he said,
ire deepening his voice as he reached for her arm. She dodged him to prop an elbow on the bar, her look daring him to try and force her. Her ears still rang from the noise of the night, and her mouth watered for the lobster sandwich waiting for her in the pub's small kitchen.
"Tell me what's going on first."
"Damn it, we do not have time."
He raked a hand through his thinning, dark hair and let out a string of curses.
"We need to leave now.
I've still got the floors to clean, which was your job tonight if you'll remember the schedule. You know, the schedule I put up last week. The one you agreed to. You might see it if you spent more time here. What's up with that, by the way? You've scarcely been around lately."
He swallowed and nervously glanced at the door.
"I'll tell you everything once we're on the road. Go pack a bag as quick as you can."
Sammy nearly snorted her ale through her nose at his absurd request.
"What?"
she asked incredulously after she stopped coughing.
"Why do I need to pack a bag?"
"They're coming, Sammy. We've got to leave,"
Daniel shouted violently.
"Now!"
A tinge of apprehension ran down her spine.
"Who is coming? I'm not moving until you tell me, so you might as well spit it out."
He put both hands on the bar and hung his head as if the weight of the world rested on his shoulders.
"I was an idiot. I got in with some bad people when I was a lad. I had no choice, really. Everyone in my family does some sort of job for them. I kept working with them because the money was so good and easy."
"What people?"
she asked hesitantly, unsure if she really wanted to know. Sammy set down her glass and glanced at the door Daniel had locked as apprehension began to grow.
"Their name does not matter. The organized crime."
Her blood ran cold at his words.
"What did you do for them?"
"Laundered money through the pub."
"My pub?"
It was like she had been kicked in the stomach. The man she'd trusted to share the accounting of her business had laundered money for the mob. It was too surreal to even grasp.
Daniel lifted his head, his blue eyes filled with guilt. "We both made money off it. I made sure of it."
"Oh, God."
This was going from bad to worse. She knew it, yet she still found herself asking,
"What have you done?"
Daniel pushed off the bar and took her hands in his.
"I skimmed some of their money, just a little, Sammy, but I wanted to make sure you were set. You struggled with the pub after your mum's death, not to mention me using the pub for the money laundering. It's the least I could do for you."
She didn't know what to say. The man before her, the man she had shared her bed and her business with, was a stranger. However, the fact he was scared put her on high alert.
"They found out you took the money, didn't they?"
He nodded woodenly.
I was supposed to meet them 2 hours ago.
Supposed to? You mean you didn't?
She could only stare in complete shock.
Do you know what these people do to those who steal from them?
Sammy looked around her pub as realization sank in. She had scraped together money, and with a little help from her mother, she had managed to acquire the pub 5 years ago. It was her life. The dark, smooth wood of the bar, the bottles of liquor lining the shelves, and the smell of food cooking in the back were the only thing she looked forward to every day. She was going to lose it all, because of an idiot she had trusted.
I've seen enough movies to know.
They'll come for me. You can't be here when they do. You don't want to know what they will do to you.
No, she really didn't. But she also didn't want to walk away from her pub. It was hers, and she would fight for it. First, she had to stay alive.
How long will we be gone?
Daniel frowned, his dark brows lowering over his eyes.
We won't ever come back. Their reach is long. If we remain in one place too long, they'll catch us. No credit cards, no mobile phones. We need to disappear and find new identities.
The room began to spin, just as her life was doing. She had woken that morning thinking about going down to the docks tomorrow to get first pick of the freshest seafood in all of Scotland.
All of my money is in the bank.
We can no chance it, Daniel said. Take what you have here. We'll improvise. I've got some money stashed in the warehouse. You know the one I bought under that fake name?
She did know, but she couldn't see how they would get there without the mob finding them first. And how was she supposed to survive without her credit cards, bank, or her mobile? The thought of being on the run left her shaken, unsettled, dazed.
Move!
Daniel said as he shoved her to the swinging door that separated the pub from the back. Sammy glanced into the brightly lit kitchen and the lobster sandwich waiting for her on a white plate atop the stainless steel counter. Instead, she turned to the right and passed the door to her office and started up the stairs that led to her flat. There was no need to turn on any lights. The street lamps, shining in, shed enough for her to see the way clearly to her bedroom. At 3 in the morning, Oban was the quietest. How many nights had she fallen asleep listening to the sound of the water as it lapped against the docks? How many times had she woken to the squawks from the gulls as a ship docked? How many drinks had she served the people of Oban? All of that was going to be left behind. It didn't seem fair. Maybe she wouldn't go. Daniel was the one who had stolen the money. He was the one they would be after.
Who am I kidding?
She asked herself. They would probably shoot her rather than look at her. Even if she feigned ignorance, she was sure they wouldn't let her go. She didn't want to die. So Sammy did what she had to do, as always. After grabbing a bag from under the bed, she pulled open several drawers and was about to start stuffing clothes in when she heard a vehicle pull up. Sammy hastily rushed to the other side of her loft that faced the parking lot and sidled against the wall next to the window. She hesitated for just a second before she carefully peered through the sheer gold curtains. That is when she caught sight of the Lexus SUV and the three burly men who stepped out and flanked a tall, impressively dressed man who was obviously their leader. He paused to button his suit jacket and glanced up at her window. She couldn't tell much about him other than he had dark, clean-cut hair.
"Shit, shit, shit, shit,"
she mumbled as she ducked and crawled away from the window as fast as she could. She had to get down to Daniel so they could get out the back before... Her thoughts came to a screeching halt with the sound of the pub door crashing open. There was no way they could get out now. Sammy stood at the top of the stairs, her heart beating a slow, sickening rhythm. This was the night she was going to die. The realization turned her blood to ice. She glanced at the phone, wishing she had returned Jane's phone call as she had planned to do earlier that day. Jane, the half-sister who had walked into her life so suddenly 2 years ago. It had been impossible not to like Jane. No matter how Sammy tried, she and Jane had become closer than she had let anyone after her mother died. Sammy's thoughts halted as Daniel cried out in pain. Adrenaline spiked as she flattened herself against the wall in case someone glanced up the stairs.
You should have known better than to steal from me.
came a cultured English accent from below. I might have been more lenient had you come when I summoned you.
Ow, I...
Daniel set around large puffs of air. I was going to bring you the Nutalis from the latest batch I've laundered.
How much did you take this time?
Sammy cringed when Daniel hesitated.
Danny,
the man said, a hint of malice and something even darker infusing his voice.
I suggest you answer me.
I only took 10,000.
And what have you done with my money?
The sound of footsteps approaching had Sammy backing farther away from the stairs. She didn't hear Daniel's response as she focused on whoever might come up after her. Several tense minutes passed before the man walked away. Sammy let out a relieved sigh, but when Daniel let out another scream, she knew she couldn't wait around forever. She licked her lips as she looked across the space to the windows on either side of her bed. If she could get to them, she could use the water pipes to slide down. But that was a big if.
Where is Miss Miller?
The leader asked. She was really beginning to hate that sophisticated tone of his. Daniel refused to answer. A moment later, she heard the unmistakable sound of a fist meeting a body. Daniel coughed, his wheezing breath telling her the punch had landed in his stomach.
I'll ask once more, Danny. Where is Miss Miller?
She's not a part of this,
he said. Sammy closed her eyes as she heard another punch being thrown.
Right his chair, Fabian,
the leader said. A chair scraped against her floor. Then there was nothing but silence. Sammy's imagination ran rampant with what could be going on.
Danny? She's not here,
Daniel barked angrily. Sammy took a couple of days off. There was a snort.
You mean you sent her away so you wouldn't have to explain yourself to her, right? Whatever you say, Mr.
Daniel was cut off with another punch to his face. Sammy opened her eyes and looked at the windows again. Her time was running out. The men wouldn't take Daniel's word for it. They would search the entire pub. If she wanted to see the sunrise, she couldn't remain. She drew in a deep breath and released it at the same time she dashed across the open doorway. Her thought had been speed, not stealth. A mistake she realized all too soon when a board creaked beneath her foot. She froze, and that's when she heard the leader send someone to search upstairs. Sammy's hands shook as she tried to unlock the window. The adrenaline kept her from falling apart, but it was the panic that caused her to fumble. She got it open when the first thug bounded up the stairs. With the lights out, he couldn't see her, but that didn't stop him from firing off several shots around the room, one coming entirely too close. While he groped for the lights, she wedged the window open enough so she could slip out. She had a grip on the pipes with her legs and one hand, so she could lower the window until it was nearly shut. Luck was on her side, because at that moment the lights flicked on. Sammy heard voices out in front of the pub and quickly slid down the pipes as fear pushed her. She landed hard on the ground, tweaking her ankle. After a hasty look over her shoulder, she ran between empty crates and into the water with nary a sound, just as footsteps running toward her grew louder. Even in the dark water, she huddled against the dock, afraid they would see her. They were there waiting for her to make a noise and reveal herself, but she refused to do something so foolish. Sammy shivered from the cool water and the terror gripping her. Any moment her life could be snuffed out, ending before she had accomplished any of her goals. They walked to the edge of the docks and stood there searching the black water. The silence was the hardest. She silently begged them to talk, to say anything to break the quiet. She got her wish when they began firing several rounds that zinged all around her like tiny missiles. After what seemed like hours, the leader called to his men and they walked off. Sammy waited until she heard the SUV engine turn over, and then she started to climb out of the water. That's when her pub blew up. Sammy was forcefully thrown back into the sea by the impact. She looked up through the rippling waves and saw the flames shooting into the dark sky. It wasn't until she started swimming that she felt a twinge in her shoulder. She broke the surface and drew in a ragged breath, letting her burning lungs take in huge mouthfuls of air. People were running about, shouting as they tried to put out the fire so the rest of the street didn't go up in flames as well. Sammy swam farther down the dock away from her pub and climbed unsteadily up the ladder. Only then did she touch her shoulder and hiss in a breath at the contact. She fisted her hands, only to bite back a curse. When she glanced down at her palms, she found they were bleeding and raw from her journey down the pipes. The adrenaline was putting off most of the pain, but that wouldn't last long. She needed to put some distance between her and Oban before the real pain slammed into her. Chapter 1 1 month later.
Hey, sis, it's me!
Sammy rolled her eyes at her too bright tone as she drove her fourth stolen car. That would never do. She had to make Jane think it was an unplanned and quick visit. If her half-sister got wind that she was in trouble, Jane would try to help, and that's the last thing Sammy wanted her to do. The truth was, she was desperate for some rest. True rest. Not the kind she'd been getting for the last 4 weeks, where she slept for a few minutes at a time, because there wasn't a place she felt safe enough to give in to the sleep her body needed to help it heal.
"Jane, it's me,"
Sammy said with a big smile. It quickly faded as she groaned.
"I don't know how to be casual. She's going to see right through me."
Nothing had been easy since she ran away from the docks. She didn't want to chance using her credit cards out of fear the mob might find her. She couldn't even access her bank account for the same reason. At least Daniel's money had been where he had said it was. That alone was what kept her alive. She resorted to stealing cars that would be better off becoming a pile of metal than a mode of transportation. But she shouldn't complain. The piece of shite she was driving now had managed to go 50 miles without breaking down.
"Just get me to Dragon, P.O.S., and I won't be tempted to torch you."
As if to let Sammy know she wasn't in control, the 1982 Morris Marina sputtered before the engine revved again. Sammy forgot about the car and went back to finding a way to greet Jane without causing suspicion. She had gone through two more scenarios when she slowed the car as she came upon the turn Jane had told her about over a year ago, when she'd invited Sammy to a party after her and Bannon's wedding. Another invitation she had made up an excuse not to attend. What kind of person was she to lie and not go to her sister's wedding party? She didn't know how she remembered it, since Sammy had been taking orders at the pub while on the phone, but somehow she had, and she was most thankful. Slowing the car, Sammy drove down the long, winding road with two mountains flanking either side of her. On one occasion, she thought she glimpsed someone in the dense trees, but it must have been her imagination, which was on overdrive since the incident, as she now recalled what had happened in Oban. Sammy felt some of the tension leave her shoulders as Dragon Industries came into view. Jane had invited her several times, but she had never been able to leave the pub. Now, as she took in the spectacular views, Sammy wished she would have. She parked the car and wondered where the house was. Jane lived on the property, but all Sammy saw were buildings used for the production of Dragon's famous whiskey. For several minutes, she simply took in the white buildings with their red roofs, the sounds of the stills, and the tranquility that seemed to be a part of Dragon itself as she got out of the car. Jane had said Dragon consisted of 60,000 acres. From what Sammy could see, there wasn't a part of it that didn't take her breath away. For the first time in over a month, Sammy didn't feel that tickle on the back of her neck that said she was being watched. A look around confirmed that there were no suspicious cars, no dubious men who might be following her. Maybe here she could finally relax, if only for a few days. She wouldn't stay longer and bring the mob to Jane's doorstep. Not to mention Sammy was certain Jane's husband, Bannon, wouldn't appreciate bad men coming and destroying the beauty of Dragon.
"Are you here for the job, too?"
Sammy jerked, startled by the voice behind her. The movement pulled at her slow-healing wound, causing her to hold her left arm against her side for protection. She turned to find a young woman with glossy black hair falling over one shoulder. The woman's black eyes glanced down to Sammy's arm, concern clouding her face. "Are you hurt? Can I help?" Sammy swallowed and gradually loosened her arm. "I'll be all right, thanks. You didn't see how pale you were. American, right?" Sammy asked to change the subject. The woman briefly looked away as she nodded. "My mother was from South Africa, while my father had dual citizenship with the U.S. and Spain. How interesting." As a bartender, Sammy had a knack for spotting people who had a story to tell, and she could see that this woman was one of them. She took a step closer and shoved her mane of midnight hair off her shoulder. "At least let me help you inside so you can collect yourself before the interview." Sammy instantly liked the woman, American accent and all. There was just something about her that told Sammy the woman was as kind-hearted as the day was long. "I'm not here for the interview," Sammy told her. The woman paused before she gave a little laugh. "Well, I'm glad. I really need this job. Forget any competition. You have a natural ability with people. If the job involves that, they'd be fools not to give it to you." The woman beamed, her large black eyes crinkling in the corners. "Thank you. I'm Lily, by the way, Lily Ross. It's nice to meet you, Lily. I'm Sammy." Lily moved her purse to her other shoulder, causing the sleeve of her sweater, that was at least three sizes too big, to fall and reveal a huge bruise on her arm. "That's one hell of a bruise," Sammy remarked. Lily laughed as she moved her sweater over it. "I'm as clumsy as they come. A laundry basket filled high and shoes in the middle of the floor, and I'm a catastrophe waiting to happen. You should get along with Jean famously." Sammy made a mental note not to have anything breakable around when Lily and Jane were together. Lily looked Sammy up and down, a frown marring her forehead. "You need to sit. Shall I help you inside? I think I'll be okay, but I will walk with you." They had only gone a few steps when Lily asked, "How do you know I would be a good fit to interact with people?" "It's a gift I've always had. I can look at a person and just know. I used to run a pub, and I learned quickly that only certain kinds of people could work there and be successful. People like you." Lily smiled as she looked at the ground. When she didn't say anything, Sammy decided to push her a little. "What kind of job is it you'll be interviewing for?" "Oh, it's nothing too important. It's for the gift shop." "So you would be selling the Dragon whiskey to tourists?" "A word. It's perfect for you. Be confident when you go in, and remember, it is an important job because it'll be yours." Lily's smile widened, making the charming girl into a real beauty. She wore very little makeup and her clothes were too big and very drab. Sammy, who had never had a close girlfriend, suddenly wanted to go shopping with Lily and outfit her with proper attire. Something bright and bold to complement her coloring. It must have been all the weeks hiding from the mob that was messing with her mind. It was a good thing they came to the door of the shop before Sammy did something really stupid and offered to bring Lily shopping, which might truly offend the woman. Lily might enjoy dressing as a 60-year-old. Some women were just like that. Despite her attire, Lily was a striking beauty with her black hair, black eyes, and mocha skin. The same couldn't be said for her, but Sammy had learned to work with her stubborn hair and pale complexion early in life, thanks to her mother. As soon as they entered the shop, Sammy looked around at the shelves that covered the walls and were filled with bottles of Dragon whiskey. Some of the glass bottles were in small, colored casks denoting an added flavor in the whiskey, while others were in the tall, rounded tins. There were other bottles that were about half the size and still others that looked like some kind of cream liqueur. At the far back wall were shelving enclosed in glass with the bottles proudly displayed. "Those would be the 50-year-old scotches and ones that are even older. They're highly prized by collectors and highly priced as well," Lily said. A woman with long brunette hair with the top half pulled away from her face came around the counter and smiled at Lily. "You know your whiskey." Lily turned to the woman and straightened her shoulders. "I'd like to think I do. I was called in for the interview." "Ah," the woman said as she glanced behind her to the clipboard. "You must be Liliana Ross. Lily, please," she said, and held out her hand. The woman took it and smiled.
I'm Cassie. Why don't we go to the back and talk?
Sammy watched the two Americans interact and recognized by Cassie's mannerisms that she liked Lily. If Sammy was a betting person, she'd wager a hefty sum that Lily walked out with the job.
Of course,
Lily said. Cassie's dark eyes lifted to Sammy.
Can I help you with anything? Actually, I hope you can. I'm looking for Jane.
Jane? Cassie repeated, some of the spark gone from her eyes. Sammy wasn't offended. Jane had mentioned how close everyone was at Dragon, and now that she thought of it, she recalled Jane mentioning a Cassie.
I'm Sammy Miller, Jane's half-sister.
Cassie finished for her with a kind nod.
Let me call the house and get her over here. She'll be so pleased to see you.
Sammy wasn't so sure of that, but she needed at least a day of rest and to see to her wound again. It felt as if it were becoming infected. She could barely move her arm now. Dressing and showering was becoming a chore with only one arm, not to mention trying to wash her hair. Before Cassie made the phone call, she stuck her head around the corner and said something to whoever was there. While she called the house, a tall man with faded jeans riding low on trim hips and a burgundy tee with a dragon design mimicking a tribal tattoo came walking into the shop. It was hard to tell how long his dark hair was because he had it pulled back in a queue, but his aqua eyes glanced at Sammy before they landed on Lily. After a hesitation, in which he took in every inch of the petite woman, he looked away and walked around the counter to a case of whiskey waiting to be stocked on the shelves. Sammy's gaze turned to Lily to find she was staring at the man as if he were the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. Granted, he was drool-worthy, but Sammy had seen many men like him during her days at the pub. They were gorgeous, and most of them knew it. To those men, females were meant for entertainment and nothing more. But by the way Lily couldn't look away from him, Sammy was going to have to caution her. Then she realized that maybe she shouldn't. Everyone needed to fall in love at least once, and everyone needed to have their heart broken once. That way, when love came again, it was all the sweeter. At least that's what her mum had always said. Sammy hadn't given that piece of advice a try. Oh, she'd had her heart broken when she was a teenager, but she hadn't fallen in love. And she never would. Cassie hung up the phone and met Sammy's eyes.
Jane is on her way. Lily, why don't we go in the back?
Sammy gave Lily a wink of encouragement and then found herself alone with the man.
So you're Samantha?
He said without looking at her. She turned toward him fully and glared, not that he saw it. He kept stocking the whiskey as if he hadn't just spoken to her.
I prefer Sammy.
You prefer a male name?
Do you prefer to walk around holding your twig and berries after I kick you?
He paused. Then he looked at her over his shoulder, a wide smile upon his lips.
I thought you'd be more like Jean.
Quiet and demure, or klutzy?
Either, both.
Leave her alone, Rhys,
Jane said as she let the door close behind her, though there was no censure in her tone.
Sammy manages to stay upright. As for demure, I think she's brilliant just as she is.
Sammy hated when Jane said things like that, because it always made her eyes prick with tears. She looked into Jane's amber eyes and knew everything would be all right.
I'm so glad you're here,
Jane said and rushed to her. Sammy tried not to grimace when Jane hugged her, but she didn't hide it quickly enough. Jane pulled back at the same time Rhys faced her. Jane's gaze silently probed her for several minutes before she asked,
What happened? Nothing. Why? Can't I come see my half-sister? Absolutely,
Jane said, her gaze still searching.
It's just, well, to put it bluntly, you haven't.
Sammy cringed.
I know, I'm sorry. I wanted to take a few days and see you. If you aren't busy, that is. Not at all. I'm beyond happy that you're here. Are you sure everything is all right?
She asked again. Sammy forced a laugh.
Of course it is. Why would you keep asking that? You've lost weight. Not that you had a lot to lose to begin with. You've got dark circles under your eyes, too,
and you're holding your left arm oddly. And is that blood coming through your shirt near your...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?